ऑटो ऑटो ओके गुड आफ्टरनून। आई होप यू ऑल कैन हियर मी। वी आर स्टार्टेड। गुड आफ्टरनून, थैंक यू फॉर टेकिंग द टाइम टू अटेंड टुडेज़ अर्निंग्स कॉल। जस्ट टू गिव यू अ क्विक अपडेट, वी हैव अ फ्यू पॉइंट्स टू डिस्कस एंड देन वी लीव इट ओपन टू क्वेश्चन एंड आंसर्स। Just to give a quick overview on Ador, like we discussed earlier as well, pretty much in line with that, 800 plus employees, 5 manufacturing facilities that are located across the country, who deliver across India and now have a global footprint that's increasing to approximately 15 countries around the world. R&D continues to be an area of investment and is recognized by the government of India. And we closed this year approximately 1135 crores in sales. We identify ourselves, we've discussed this in past meetings as well, but we continue to identify ourselves as a tier one welding player, which is not part of a global MNC, but with roots in India that is stretching out towards other economies and other geographies as well. These are the geographies that we currently operate in, with India comprising approximately 80%+ of our sales and Middle East markets and select other markets like the US and stuff like that becoming a lot more relevant for us as we go forward. Revenue growth is approximately 3% for the year, for quarter four, sorry. And EBITDA clocked in at approximately rupees 38 crores, an increase of 200 basis bips. Gross margin was approximately 36%, and the PBT was at approximately 39 crores. This excludes, the numbers we discussed today exclude any recovery of the old Kuwait project and the exceptional items also. For the year standalone, revenues up about 2%, gross margins at 38%, up about 250 bips. EBITDA margin at 12%. The Kuwait project recovery, which was a lot of good work done by the team from the recovery that was pending from 2020, 2021, that finally led to 14 crores of recovery, and PBT of approximately 130 crores, excluding the onerous cost of the Udan project. Return on capital employed is approximately on the operational EBITDA at approximately 12%. Operational EBITDA is approximately 12%. And return on capital employed is approximately 23%. On the new product introduction, like we've discussed in the past, there are various initiatives being undertaken depending on the industry or the technology that we're focused on. We have entered into a partnership with Miller, which is a leading welding equipment manufacturer globally for specific products regarding applications in the submerged arc welding space. Which basically leads into the industries in power, structural, and shipbuilding. We have strengthened our portfolio with Made in India products for the robotic line as well. We have added products that have nuclear approvals for consumables. We are adding more and more consumables for the wind manufacturing industry, for high-end nickels, for all the special critical welding applications. This is a continuous initiative that is undertaken by the team. And month on month, especially in recent months, we've been seeing a lot faster introduction of products and approvals accordingly. New product introduction, another area that's a big focus area for us is the automation space. As we have discussed before, Ador needs to be a lot stronger in the automation space, not only via hard automation, but also via robotics, cobots, laser, all of that. And in fact, we have now introduced products accordingly, and we have received some orders as well. Year on year, there's a lot more push happening on this. We've identified a lot more talent to come into the organization also to drive these, and we're starting to see results of this coming. As I said, being the only tier one player that is not part of a global MNC that operates, we have to be very specific about brand positioning and how we lay that out. So there are several initiatives being done to ensure that the marketing and branding follows suit altogether with that. We're fortunate this year to have received some interesting recognitions. We developed a welder, that means a welding equipment that uses battery welding as a main power source. We're the first to do so, and we were very fortunate by CII to receive to be recognized amongst the top 100 innovative companies in India. Our training division, which undertakes several projects primarily on a non-profit basis but for brand building purposes, has been recognized as well. Additionally, the Bureau of India Standards, which we work with very closely, has recognized our manufacturing plants for their quality and processes. Just in conclusion, this is our 75th year, which will happen in October of this year, just to give you a little bit, and we continue to remain focused on creating the best learning experience. We will now leave it open to question and answers and take it forward accordingly. Thank you. Stop sharing. All right, go ahead. Nisha, can you hear us?
Good evening, everyone. Sir, nobody has raised any question as of now.
All right. Is there any questions? If anyone would like to ask any specific questions at all, we'll wait 5 minutes. It's fine. I think someone's raised their hand.
Yeah.
So, first speaker is Mr. Rajas Joshi. Mr. Joshi, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on FY26 performance. So if you could just break down our performance into volume and value, so that just to get a sense of how we've done with regards to mix, price, and volume growth.
So just to give you an overview, the volume growth is pretty much in line with the revenue growth, a little bit up or down within that same thing, within a reasonable level. There's obviously, as you know, in the last 3 or 4 months, been a massive inflationary effect that has happened due to the global circumstances and macro circumstances. We are seeing certain product lines outperforming on market growth. We're seeing some product lines have a little bit quieter last 4 or 5 months especially, but we're seeing it pretty much in line with steel consumption as well as in line with the figures that we're showing over here.
Understood. Secondly, on client addition, right? If you could just share some progress and traction on that front, both in terms of new industries that we're now catering to, which you partly alluded to in your opening remarks, as well as then new clients as well, similar to NPCIL or anything else. So some comments on that, please, would be
Oh,
helpful.
that's actually a big focus area for us. We talked about that in the past. So we're actually so let's do it in two, three bases. The first is low-hanging fruit of customers where we have product, but we are not aggressive enough to be in the door. I think there's a lot of work being done in select pockets, especially on structural, on automotive, on oil and gas, to be a lot more aggressive. We've got a strong key customer account team. We've got a stronger CRM process that we are following at the moment that we've implemented in the last 2 months that's enabling us to be a little more aggressive there. I think we'll keep seeing the benefit of that as we go forward. The second is segments where we are not product-wise strong and now entering the door, like a little bit of wind and stuff like that, where we are now getting the approvals in place, getting the testing procedures done, entering. It'll take a little bit longer, but I think the benefit will be quite large from that perspective over the next 1 or 2 years.
Understood. Second, my next question would be on the outlook for the next 2 years. So if you could just spell out how one should look at revenue growth and margins for the next few years, both on a volume basis and then from portfolio completion, if that helps with regards to mix or pricing, and then on cost efficiencies when it comes to margins as well.
Yeah, so I'll take the margin answer because I feel that's a little bit easier for me to answer right now. Like I've been talking, and you've been, and you hopefully have seen in the last 2 or 3 quarters slight improvements on those margins. I've been talking about how Adore within itself has the ability to improve its own margins, and we've been working towards that. And there's still a little bit of room left. So I think on a similar trajectory, you can see that happen, you know, for another 100, 200 basis points going forward over the coming periods. I wouldn't say it's immediate. It takes a little bit of time. As far as forecasts go, look, it's very tough to forecast at the moment. And I keep saying that, and neither do we give guidance and stuff like that because it's very, very hard to do so. But we are very clear that we need to keep looking at outperforming on volume and value. As of now, we remain, you know, if you take IIP numbers, GDP numbers, you know, 6, 7, 8% in that region, and you hope that those numbers consistently perform, I think we're in a position to do better than that. But you know, supply chain shocks are just the way things are at the moment. You know, lack of clarity for many planning purposes. So I don't have anything beyond that. All I can tell you is that, look, we're planning that those numbers should be, you know, in that line of what I mentioned at the very minimum.
Understood, understood. So my next question would be on the flares business, right? So X of one-time gains segment has, I mean, probably again, optically, you know, made losses even in Q4. And so just wanted to understand our plans for this segment going forward.
We made an announcement at the end of March, early part of April. Correct. We made an announcement
end of March.
That we
Pretty
were
much March. We are combining, realigning the
we are
business.
realigning the entire division. So we no longer have a division called Flares and Process Equipment. We have, as I mentioned in many calls, we were waiting for Udan to come towards closure. We do not see ourselves being successful in large scale projects. Which means the kind of business we want to go after is basically a product line type of business, where we have orders and we can see profitability in those orders. That basically would be anywhere in the region of, like we discussed, a 20, 30 crore product line. A 20, 30 crore product line for a 1,200 crore company does not need to be a separate division anymore. It needs to be product management driven and just driven within the smaller part of it. And that's exactly what we've done. Restructured a lot of stuff, a lot of changes over the last 5 to 6 weeks. And we should see that play out better this year. And as I said, we're very clear we don't want to lose any money in that, and we can make a little bit of money if we do this correctly.
Understood. And so, I mean, accordingly, are we seeing any kind of, you know, orders or pipeline in this business for next year?
Yeah, I think it should be all right for the process and process equipment flare from approximately a 20 crore kind of number that I'm talking to you about. I think it should be kind of okay on that front. Whatever little traction I've been noticing, it should be okay for that. Yeah.
And then we should be able to break even basis that number that you just mentioned. All right, all right, perfect. I think I'll just stop and get back in the queue later if
Oh,
there's some more
thank
questions.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doshi. We will now move to our next speaker, Mr. Pritesh. Mr. Pritesh, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to check for last year, that is FY26, amongst all the industries that we were catering to. Any broader observations that you have in terms of the industry clientele performance, any hits and misses there? And then I wanted to check on the export side of the business because we do a lot of business in Middle East.
Sure. So I think in terms of industry,
How will that business shape up? Yeah, how will that business shape?
I think in terms of industry first, I think there are a few industries that, I mean, you guys will know better than me, but we are seeing green shoots, obviously, shipbuilding, a little bit on some structural wind, like I said, even though it's not a big thing for us at the moment, but we are seeing a lot of activity there to get us approved and stuff like that. Automotive is picking up, doing all right from that front. Those are the main. I'm not seeing, you know, I'm not seeing anything else that's really outshining or anything like that beyond a few of these. Thermal is expected to, some work comes from there as well. Oil and gas pipeline kind of work, all of that going on. So that's kind of all right. But nothing exorbitant or nothing shining out from that perspective. We do expect it like everyone else does for the reasons that you know, the next 12, 18 months, it should be a little bit better. From the exports perspective, last year was a bit soft compared to target, fairly flattish compared to where we wanted to be the year before. We did notice one or two pockets we're quite reliant on where the markets were a little bit soft. due to their own structural blah 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 issues internally, for example in Saudi and stuff like that, a little bit softer, but we did see other markets do a little bit better. So far this year, what we have seen is the order book, inquiry base, and approvals where we're set up. Export should do better, should do well, should do better. The markets we operate in, we're definitely seeing a lot of the efforts we put in, we're seeing a lot of traction from that.
So why, so now the next business is on the process equipment side. Why is it that we still continue to have adjusted for those one-off losses continuing? Because in the past also we have said across a lot of quarters that this is towards the end. So, where exactly does this all finish and what kind of unexecutable number you are still pending?
There's no further loss as a gain.
No,
There's a
Pradesh,
gain.
the 3 crores that you see in FE is basically a gain that has come because there was one of the reorders that came in from ONGC. So that's a gain. And accounting-wise, we will have to take it in the same line item where we have taken the expense. So it's a gain. If you look at it in June, it was 28 crores, if I'm not mistaken. And now in March quarter, we have taken a 3 crore gain. So full year, the hit on that is about 25 crores. Going forward, if we get any money back from ONGC for any LD and all, again, it will come in that same line item.
There is no further negative left. We took the biggest hit we did in Q1, and we're working towards recovery on what we can. That was a very clear principle.
And then there is this another gain, right, which you're reporting impairment reversal on trade receivable. So
That
that
is
goes and sits where?
the KOC that we had taken.
Kuwait project recovery, yeah.
That was a project we had taken in Kuwait, and with a lot of efforts from finance team, they were able to recover that money. So that has also come in as a separate line item so that people are aware that this money is not from current operations. It's an effort of the past that has come in.
So then from a segmental point of view, what happens is you report a 5 odd crores number in the process division, which has both these gains sitting, right? So if you adjust for that, then there is a loss. So my question was there. So on an ongoing basis, there is a loss. Adjusting for gain, there's a profit. So, my question was from that direction.
Are you asking basically that does the flares and process equipment division, if it continues to run the way it does today, it loses money? No, it
Yeah,
does not. No, it does not, because effective 31st March, I've taken many decisions that will not allow that to happen coming into this quarter. Because I had to wait until the Udan project was completed for many things to happen. That's it, from that perspective. Okay. Sorry, Pritesh, you're okay? On that, you're on mute. Sorry, we can't hear you.
Yeah, you got muted. So incrementally, the growth division. So basically, we don't see the losses recurring in the process equipment division, and the welding division moves in line with the steel growth rate plus whatever extra growth rate that we come from the export business, because last year was a flat number in exports. Correct? That's how I have to read it.
Yes, correct.
Any downside or upside case in the margins of the welding business?
No, right now we don't see any.
Any other diversification plan
No,
out of the business? Yeah.
nothing at the moment, nothing that stretches much beyond anything on that. We are now, we do have the merger behind us, we do have Udan behind us, we have Kuwait behind us, a lot of those things. We will explore certain, what I would not call diversification. We will look at, product adjacencies, opportunities that arise, but nothing at the moment that is a large ticket investment.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best to you. Yeah? Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Pritesh. Our next speaker is Mr. Satish Doshi. Mr. Doshi, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Relatively, we have posted a decent growth in terms of revenue from welding business, YOY and QOQ. I wanted to understand in the context of the ongoing situation in the Middle East, what would be the outlook going forward for medium term, and how sustainable are the EBITDA margins? I mean, I have adjusted all the one-offs of reversal of provisions and all of that, so I'm looking at an EBITDA margin of approximately 12% in the Q4 and Q3 as well. So what would be a sustainable EBITDA margin and the growth outlook for the welding division?
So the first was on the exports. Hopefully that situation will calm down, but we've seen demand through the last few weeks even be good. Question is being able to get product out there, which is now also there are opportunities that keep coming and going. So it's happening. But we've seen in terms of demand, no issue, and we expect demand to be fairly good in those markets going forward. Unless something very, very adverse happens, much beyond our control, we don't see anything being very adverse from that perspective. That's the first. Second is on EBITDA margins, like you said. Yes, that is the number that we look at as a base, and there are efforts on to continually look at how to keep incrementally improving upon that, which we believe is definitely in our scope and has to be done step by step. The third thing you would ask about the welding industry, like I mentioned, you have to look at steel consumption, IIB data, all of that. And take it from that perspective, and that's where we're trying to follow that kind of trend.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question regarding the growth outlook. Would you like to quantify any internal target that we are looking at in the medium
sorry,
term?
I don't share. We have targets, of course, but I'm sorry, I don't share it publicly. But we don't like to give guidance. But yes,
not a problem. Not a problem.
That's the way we look at it from that.
Also, would you like to guide us at what capacity we are operating right now and how?
Welding has a lot of different types of lines and consumables as well as in equipment, but I would say a fair estimate is anywhere in the region of approximately 70%.
70%. So there is a, and the normal capacity at which we can operate is what, 90% in this industry?
Yeah, you can operate, yeah, approximately 70 to 80 to 90%, depending on what types of systems you are, how old your equipment lines are. Accordingly, you can. There are some lines that currently operate at 90, 95%, for which we need to undertake CapEx. Some new technologies we need to invest for as well. But yeah, pretty much along there.
Lastly, sir, we have been seeing a lot of thrust from government on the shipbuilding sector, Make in India efforts. And we are announcing, we are seeing a very big announcement from, Government of India for buying or procuring or making ships in India. So how we are placed in this, in that infrastructure? I mean, are we in the approved category, and what kind of growth this sector can, give us, given the opportunity size is so big?
It's a big focus area for us. The quantum of welding and shipbuilding is very large. So it's definitely a big focus area. We spent a lot of time, effort, and put a lot of resources behind it. We have most of the approvals in place for, I would say, approximately 75 to 80% of it. There are yards where we are stronger placed than other yards, just like it would be for anyone supplying in. We are making a lot of effort to continuously grow that, not only from a consumables basis, but equipment, automation. We represent some international brands for really high-end automation as well. So a combination of all of that, there's a lot of effort being done to see that. But yes, we are on the same page as you as far as shipbuilding goes.
Generally, what could be the ratio, sir? I mean, let's say if let's say 10,000 tons of steel is being used in making a ship, how much of our building rods would be required?
I can't answer you specifically on shipbuilding, but I can tell you that it's approximately 2% is a thumb rule the industry uses in general for most of these applications.
2%. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much, and I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doshi. Our next speaker is Mr. Dhawan. Mr. Dhawan, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, I think you already mentioned that we are seeing some tailwinds from a few of the sectors. So let's say your welding revenue by this year end, FY26, was roughly 1,070 odd crore. And based on these tailwinds, by when do you see we can do roughly 1,500 to 1,600 odd crores kind of the revenue from the welding business? Is it like by FY28, is it achievable?
Look, that would indicate somewhere in the region of approximately a 18 to 20% growth rate year on year for 2 years. I would love to be able to do that, and I think it's definitely feasible. But the ground economics and the ground macroeconomy has to support that. So I can't venture a guess much beyond that. But to tell you that, look, it's in our radar that we have to get ourselves there, and we are investing and driving accordingly. But I don't want to put a number out there yet. But you're not very far off as long as the economy is strong.
Sure. And let's say, the shipbuilding, I think majority of the commercial players are already, getting the orders, and maybe the construction would begin maybe after a year, kind of the time frame. So do you foresee, this shipbuilding itself can give you 1,000 odd crores kind of the revenue visibility
That's a
maybe
very
in the
big
next
answer.
5 years, in the next 5 to 7 years?
That's a very large number. I won't give you a number, but I will tell you that that's a very, very large number that you're talking of. Very hard for, I think, most companies of our size to get that much just out of welding from shipbuilding. But it could incrementally add a bit. But that's a very, very large number.
Okay. And in terms of the incremental orders from the other sectors, how do you see right now? Is there any order inquiries coming in or any finalization which has been done, recently?
Seems to be fairly okay. I think from, I would say, November, December onwards, we've seen it be kind of okay. Even right now, it's all right. It's just that you have inflationary impacts that you are dealing with at the moment. So as customers, be a little bit cautious in that regard. Demand is all right. It's not bad. Given all the macroeconomic circumstances, in fact, I would imagine it could have been worse. It's not. But you have to take it with a very short-term view on it until things stabilize.
Sure. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Mr. Dhawan. Our next speaker is Nishita Shankaresha. Ms. Nishita, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yes, hello. I'm looking at this company for the first time, so apologies if some questions are very nuanced. I just wanted to understand, I wanted a clarification. You mentioned that we can expect 100 dips of margin improvement in the coming period. So was that on the gross margin front or the EBITDA margin front?
That will be more on the EBITDA level, that we still see that there are scopes of improvement over there. Of course, part of it would also come from gross margins.
Okay, understood. And if you can give a time period by when we can achieve this improvement, is this possible in FY27?
Yeah, we're working towards it, and whatever little we can do as fast as possible, we'll do it. But surely over the next few quarters, you will see EBITDA margin improvements happening.
As long as you do not have ridiculously difficult supply chain shocks, it's possible. Within us internally, we see it as a feasibility. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Understood. And you also mentioned that in some lines we are already at the utilization of 99%. So what is the CapEx that we are expecting in FY27?
I think our CapEx plan will be in the region of approximately 30-35 crores for the coming year.
And this will be majorly to add the lines only.
Yeah, so we have done generally a maintenance CapEx that will come anywhere in the region of 10, 12 crores type scenario. And this year we'll have two, three lines that are coming that are new that are over this year and next year. So we expect 30, 35 crores to even stretching it out to 40 maybe at the most over the next 2 years each year.
Okay, understood. And this will be in which segment, the process equipment segment or the welding segment?
No. This is all welding. It's all welding and
This.
primarily, yeah, on the consumer. It's not on.
Okay, understood. And if you can give some color on the order book size that we currently have.
We actually, our business operates on a 80 to 85% of our sales is on a distribution system. We distribute across the country for our welding business, our maintenance and repair business, as well as in our international, we work through distribution. So we don't have long order book periods. We normally have very rotating quick cycle periods. I can tell you that so far it's in line with pretty much what we've seen over the last 3-4 months is what we're noticing right now.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nishita. Our next speaker is Mr. Ronit Kapoor. Mr. Kapoor, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, so I had a couple of questions. So firstly, I think there's been a recent income tax demand of 14 odd crores. And I wanted an update regarding that. What does it pertain to? And particularly, I see that in your notes, you have mentioned that your BIS hearings have closed. So any update on that?
So I'll address the BIS first. So the BIS hearings, most of it is closed, but it's still going to go back to magistrate court, which we've been given a date sometime in June, July. So that process is still going on. We're very hopeful that that will end in a much more logical manner than where it is at the moment. So that's progressing at the moment. On the income tax matter, I'll ask Surya Khan to give you an update on that.
So income tax matter, we have filed our appeal last week only. And we don't see any merit, means the department will succeed in that. So we are hopeful it will come in our favor.
Okay. And secondly, I want to know, like, given the healthy cash balance that the company currently has, and I see the smaller players in the industry are growing faster than us. So I want to know, are we open to any acquisition? Like,
we are open to acquisitions, but our acquisitions are a little more targeted now. As I said, as I've been telling shareholders for a while, the first is I need to clear up a few things in terms of Mura and merger, a few other heavy baggage things that need to be cleaned up, which we are now. We start spending a little time and effort on it. But it'll be more dependent on technology necessarily than only market share related. So we will look at both. We will explore.
Okay. And lastly, I want to know, like, in terms of your welding business, like, how the growth levers are in terms of currently the maintenance division, and because you don't give us a breakup, like, so I want to know, like, how much is the equipment division grown compared to the maintenance and repairs and your consumables as such.
Sorry, just repeat that question. You want to know the
breakup of your welding equipment business and your consumables business, like in your welding.
In terms of revenue or growth or what? So we don't give the revenue numbers for a specific reason, much like several competitors don't. We don't as well, and then we feel that is fair. But if you look at our historical data, I can tell you that it's pretty much along a similar ratio than what it was earlier.
No, but in terms of the growth, can you just specify in terms of the growth?
Growth cycles are fairly similar for across the board for all of them. You'll see a little bit of a spike in welding equipment in general when you see a capex cycle pick up. Otherwise, you're seeing pretty much similar data for both.
And in terms of exports, like, what would be the exposure to Middle East?
Our exposure is fairly high for the export division, but fairly secure. We're very secure in terms of how we deal, in terms of we deal with distributors, our payment terms, all of that. And the demand remains fairly high. I'm not at all worried about the Middle East at the moment from that perspective.
So, were any dispatches affected during the quarter? Like,
during March quarter, there was a little bit of dispatch effect, of course, during the first 3-4 weeks. Towards the end, last few days, we saw traction happen. But yes, what was planned to happen between the 1st and the 20th, the 25th of the month was obviously naturally very, very slow. But we've seen that pent up being cleaned up most of it.
So that issue has been resolved as now, like the dispatches have gone in this quarter? Like,
Most of it is resolved as on today. Now, what happens tonight over there, we don't know. But as on today, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's it. All the best.
Thank you, Mr. Kapoor. We have a next speaker, Ms. Saloni. Ms. Saloni, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I know, Mr. Aditya, you generally refrain from giving a revenue growth target. But I think one of the presentations last year on 29th May, I think after the merger, we mentioned our target of turnover to pass 2,000 crores by 2019. So, are we still on that?
By 2029.
Yeah, FY29. So, basically doubling our top line currently in the next 3 years, giving us a 25% figure. So, are we still following that?
We're still following the principle of doing that, but the main principle that drives that is to triple our earnings over that much period of time. And that's what we're working towards. And we've seen that hashtag have a lot more success because the base economy is finding it hard to be able to deliver that level of growth. But Yes, we are following the principle of we must somehow get there, and we are going to look at it like that. Yes.
Sir, any specific driver of which particular segment is going to help us achieve that? Because generally, if we look at the past, generally been 15% to 20% growth, right? So any particular segment which we are focusing on, which would, get us there?
Mean from a customer segment perspective.
No, from our segments perspective, like
Across the board.
consumables or
Across the board. For me now, as I said, now we have basically one segment, but across the board, the way we manage the business, each one has to be pushing their numbers accordingly like that across the board.
A lot of questions have been asked about the shipbuilding as a new industry that is opening up. According to you, which industry is still going to be the primary driver for our business? Steel, I'm assuming, obviously.
Heavy engineering, structural fabrication will remain the big driver because that is a large part of it. And that will have pockets where it will do well and stuff like that. So I'm not too concerned about that at the moment. And you will see hopefully a big uptick as CapEx spend hopefully picks up at the right time. But in general, I'm not worried about that. But yeah.
Apart from shipbuilding, sir, any other new industry that is opening up and we would be, targeting?
No, nothing specific. I think there's shipbuilding, there's defense, and all that kind of stuff. There's a little bit on the renewable space that we have to work on as far as Adore is concerned.
Railways.
We're working on railways is going on. So, that kind of work.
If you don't mind, sir, what is the current product mix, or sorry, the revenue mix of these particular segments as of now? And how much do you think we can cater to in the next 3 to 4 years, let's say?
We don't share too much of that data externally. Like I said, they would be anywhere in the top seven, eight key industries that we focus on.
Okay. So just one last question from my side. As you already know that Saudi Arabia as a country has announced a massive basically construction boom that is happening over there. And as a company, we are anyways focused more towards UAE and Oman. And so what is our strategy basically in terms of getting more clients from Saudi Arabia, given that the construction boom has started?
So let me correct you a little bit there. Last year, last financial year, our second largest market outside India was Saudi. This year, Saudi is our third largest market. So
Third largest. Okay.
we are quite set up over there. There are a lot of project rejigs that have happened in Saudi. There will be a lot of business coming forward from there. I think we're quite well set in terms of sales and distribution and approvals. These are the three biggest triggers. I think we're quite positively set up there. It's a question of a few things clicking now from that perspective.
Okay, so any particular jump in the inquiry or the order market pipeline that has come from that market?
In the last 3 4 months, it's been a little healthier than what we saw. I'd say from December onwards, it's been a little bit healthier than what we saw during calendar year 25. Definitely.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Saloni. We have next speaker, Mr. Jason. Mr. Jason, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, for taking my questions. So just first, I'll just have some questions on confirming in the sense. So, sir, you said that the FPD segment is now, of course, merged into the M&R segment. So basically, in a nutshell, it's becomes only one segment. That's the welding segment. Is that right? Going forward, we'll have only the welding segment continuing.
We only show the welding segment. That's how we believe is the right way that most of the industry is doing it. So we think that's the right way.
Right, so there'll be no need for any segmental information after that.
No, we will not do
Yeah.
it. Like I said,
Yeah.
it's not the size and scale of it as far as players across equipment goes, not deserving of being a division anyway. The way we're looking at it is product line.
Sure. And this, so the Uran project, of course, I know we booked the losses and in Q1, it's down and dusted, right? Everything pertaining to that is done. Is that?
So there are two parts to that. The
Yeah.
first part is everything pertaining to the accounting losses and what we foresee as forecasted losses and blah, 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 and all of that is all done. As far as closure of the project, it's at about a 96, 97% level because of this gas issue and this and that. There are a few things that have led to a little bit of a delay that will get closed up in terms of final commissioning, but no major exposures.
No major exposure. So no major any further losses or anything coming from that. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay, thanks, sir. And so just from this perspective, I mean, our welding growth year on year has been 4%, right? So just wanted to know, I mean, IIP growth is currently hovering around 4 to 5%. So what would be needed to basically at least take our revenue growth to 6, 7%, or probably let's say 10%, with lot of things get spoken about the CapEx being at a very high level in the economy, especially public CapEx and stuff like that. So just wanted your sense of how, I mean, what could be done so that we can grow, in higher single digit growth. What could we do better on that front?
If you look at the supply chain shocks, and if you just look at steel in general, look, we follow steel, right? So if you just look at those main trackers and those main concerns that they had, it's fairly similar on the ground for us. I think CapEx is, I don't know the exact data, you know much better than me, but whatever we're seeing CapEx in terms of capital formation that applies to us, slightly weaker than we expected last year. Hopefully going to be a little bit better going forward.
Okay. Sure. And sir, just could I get the total exports value for this year? I believe the last year was around
It's fair.
154
That
crores.
is, like I said, the numbers will be out at the right time, but it's fairly flattish this year.
Flattish. Okay. Flattish. Okay. And sir, just wanted to know, this collaboration with Miller seems to be very interesting. Okay. And just wanted some sense, whatever you could share, of how it will help us compete in the equipment division.
Very
I mean, with
question.
the market leader. I mean, with the market leader. I mean, I'm sure it's in that
Think from
trajectory
a
only,
high-end,
but yeah.
yeah, from a high-end technology perspective, there are applications in select industries which require that, which we had product gaps on. We've been talking about this for a while, that there are product gaps that exist by virtue of us not being an MNC, and we're looking to plug those. And this is an opportunity that we have to take forward. And it's interesting. And there's a lot of work left to see the benefits to it, but it's an interesting small start. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, again, when I looked at your new product introduction, those products look very interesting and probably very high end as well. And you also spoke about, future areas like laser cutting, robotics, automation, etc. So sir, I just wanted to know, which are the end user industries for these categories? What could the potential be? And is this equipment, all this, that's the CNC bevel, etc., is it locally made in India or imported? How does that work?
Most of it is locally made. Most of it is locally made. You might have a few components that are outsourced, that are insourced from abroad or something like that. Most of it is locally made. The application could go anywhere there's automation happening. So heavy structural fabrication, oil and gas, stuff like that. Anywhere there's automation happening, which is in many, many industries today. It's about being able to convince the customer, be in front of the customer, convince the customer, get all of that done, and do some interesting work with laser, cobots, robotics, all of that. Like I said, I think the opportunity is good for us. We have to just be get the right talent to push hard, and then we are seeing that a little bit. We're seeing that benefit coming.
So you're seeing that benefit coming,
We're seeing
right?
that
Sure.
benefit coming. We're seeing our best order book for us on the
Yeah.
automation that we've ever seen. But there's still a lot of scope, a lot of scope, so a lot of work left.
Okay. Sure. And so just again, one question in relation to that, as compared to developed markets, India is a different ball game. So you have a lot of labor which is reasonably cheap, right? Or cost effective, for a better word. Just wanted to understand, sir, from that perspective, these high-end technologies, how do you see it on the ground? I'm asking you because, sir, because you have a much better idea in welding and all. We don't have much information, publicly available to us. So just wanted, in that sense, how do you see that transition happening from the manual thing to the more AI-based, the software-based solutions?
So I won't go too much into like very, very AI-based or anything like that. I can just tell you that what you would call semi-automation, basic automation, hard automation, robot, which is not some exceptional end of the spectrum. It's basic automation in the way you look at it in many ways. I think across the world, across India, we're seeing companies, not only A-class companies, you're seeing B, C, SMEs, all of that look at automation a lot more seriously because of availability of skilled manpower. So I think the potential is good. Potential is good.
Okay. And so just my final question, I just wanted to know, I mean, equipment, yes, Miller definitely helps us in improving the product mix. You mentioned that. Now, just in terms of consumables, I just wanted to understand, what are the concrete steps we're taking to basically improve the product mix and the product gaps?
They're basically related to, like I said, identifying certain segments or identifying certain end use segments like renewables, stuff like that, where we're not present, getting in there, investing in more and more approvals, for example, in nuclear, stuff like that, and then adding on CapEx in certain specific products like fluxes and all of that to be able to take it on.
Sure, sir. Thanks. Thanks for answering my
Thank you.
questions.
Thanks a
Thank you.
lot. Thank
Thank you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jason. We have next speaker, Mr. Akshay Satija. Mr. Akshay, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. First, I actually wanted to ask regarding what would be our market share if we look at the domestic markets and even exports-wise, if you could throw some light on that.
So the market, because it's a very small industry, people have various different ways of looking at the market, organized, unorganized, and the mixed data that comes from it. We look at it very simply. I think we believe ourselves to have anywhere in the region of approximately 17, 18, plus minus a few percent in terms of market share.
Okay. Sir, also there's been a lot of talk around the shipbuilding sector. If you could throw some light on what sort of revenues we are doing right now from the shipbuilding sector, and where could we go if the sector picks up in 5, 7 years kind of things.
So I won't give you a revenue number because that's slightly confidential, but I will tell you that it's still small compared to the pie that is going to be available and that is there. So there are two elements. One is the natural growth, the organic growth that will come from customers that use us. The second is pockets where we have product, but we are not in. The third is approval. So I think the opportunity to grow from the base is quite high.
Okay. And so finally, so say 5, 7 years from now, we look to double our volume. What would be the approximate CapEx required if we are to double our volume in 5, 7, 6 years kind of range?
I would say in the region of approximately 120. I'm not talking about anything to do with land and all of that. I'm just talking in terms of plant machinery capability and stuff. I would say anywhere in the region of 100 to 150 crores.
Got it, sir. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Akshay. We have a next speaker, Mr. Vikram. Mr. Vikram, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yes, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, great. So I think just a question you mentioned on the internal points that you're focusing on. Forget the geopolitical issues, but are you comfortable where you stand now, given the merger is off, loss contract is off, and things like that? Would you say now you're kind of ready for the future?
I think so. I think we've been waiting for this time for the last, I would say, almost 2, 2.5 years at least, that we're standing back on solid ground with a lot of big ticket stuff, big ticket problems behind us. I would definitely feel that way at the moment, yes.
Excellent. And secondly, I just had a point in terms of growth again. I mean, IIP 7-8%. We spoke about a CAGR of 25 if we have to meet our vision. Any sense of how we can bridge that gap?
There is that we do discuss in senior management meeting. There are ways that we are looking at that I can't get into full details over here, but there are ways that I think partnerships and sort of being a little more aggressive in terms of maybe doing an acquisition here or there is definitely something that would be interesting.
Right.
Beyond that, I want to do other things that I'd rather not discuss at the moment, but I think if you take the base of automation, if you take the base of international, if you take the base of certain M&R, not only M&R, I'll take the base of certain sectors like renewables, I would say these are definite areas that you can outperform.
Got it. And just in terms of the fact that the steel cycle has come back from whatever reports I've seen and pricing has gone up and things like that, what does that mean for you incrementally?
It's been okay. It's a little bit challenging. I think steel is going through a very interesting phase in terms of inflationary impact, demand restrictions. I mean, supply sort of being managed. It's okay for us. We're all right on that front. But yeah, it's a lot of managing of that as you go through the process of it. But I think, Steve, yeah, I would tend to agree with you that it's a little more on the driver stage than anything else.
And one final question on, shareholder value and market cap and things like that. I mean, if I look at the numbers, right, I mean, market cap hasn't moved in spite of all the good work you've done. Is it that we're not putting out the story right, or do you think the market hasn't understood it, or any
I
sense of
think
that?
in all fairness, the market understands us quite well. I think they do. I think in all fairness, there were things that we've discussed that were holding us back a little bit that people have been waiting to see is it reaching its point of closure, which is what we've been patiently trying to do. And now, we leave it to the market to take it forward from that perspective.
Got it. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vikram. We have follow-up questions from Mr. Rajas. Mr. Rajas, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So I was going through your page on LinkedIn and I saw a mention of a tie-up with ITW. So just wanted to get some sense on what this tie-up is and what it entails.
Same one. It's the same one we discussed regarding Miller. Miller's a group company of ITW. It's the same one. So the high-end welding equipment that go into specialized industries like thermal and structural and stuff like that.
All right. And I think earlier in the call you spoke about using the cash balance that we have to, probably look at some technology or enter an adjacency. So could you please shed some more light on what this adjacency could possibly be for us?
It's a little too early for me to discuss. We're just exploring opportunities. But it's related to, simply speaking, the fabrication, joining, or cutting of steel, right? At the end of the day, it's going to be along those lines.
Understood. And on the exports front, outside of the US and then the Middle East, which you earlier highlighted were our largest two markets, what would the progress on some of the other markets be for us outside of these two?
We've seen, I mean, obviously you have the tariff things that held back the US, but we've seen in the last 2 months a lot more traction happening. The Middle East remains core to us. We're seeing a little bit of interest after the Europe FTA. Some stuff over there. We have to build it up correctly. We have to get the right distribution model in. That's primarily, I would say, most of the highlights from that.
And with increasing, automation and robotics and cobots, in your business, how do you see the consumables versus the equipment mix evolving? And then, what impact does that have on margins if that mix were to change, so to speak?
As you increase automation, you will see that change, but the base is very, very tiny. So I don't think you will see a very big impact happen fast. I'm not too stressed over the marginal impact on that at all. I'm not too stressed. In fact, you just need to be able to grow that side a little bit faster because, as far as any top-tier brand is concerned, you need to be well structured in that space.
Okay. And just from a core welding portfolio, product portfolio perspective, any further gaps that you see in a portfolio that need to be plugged for us to, go out there and crack clients that probably we're not able to do today?
There
Something that you've
are
done with ITW already.
I mean, in the last 12 months, I would say I would have to say the team's done a lot to plug a few interesting gaps. I'm quite happy with that, but there are always a few, and then this is part of being a non not part of being the MNC globally, the tier one guys. There are a few gaps there. There are a few gaps in terms of certain sectors you want to deal with. So there are a few, but the good news is a lot of low-hanging fruit are coming into place.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much and wishing you all the very best.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you all speaker for insightful questions. With that, we will now conclude our Q&A session. I would like to hand over to Aditya sir for the closing remarks.
Thank you. Thanks, Al. We appreciate everyone taking their time. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.